For 8 years now, BC has been in a public health emergency, dealing with a toxic drug and overdose crisis. Now, that emergency has pushed the provincial government to try all sorts of things, including, yes, a very controversial experiment with drug decriminalization and safe supply. But with this, we are now dealing with a public safety problem as well, right? Police people, I should say, seem to have lost faith in the system working for them and keeping them safe. It's as though we don't trust our institutions anymore to uphold those kind of pillars of society. Now, was it always like this, or what has changed? Well, retired Justice Thomas Gove has been a lawyer and a provincial court judge for decades before retiring just a couple of years ago. You may remember the work that he did with the Gove Inquiry into Child Protection. I mean, that work led to an overhaul of the child protection system here in BC. He also helped create the Downtown Community Court. That's a unique way of kind of moving offenders through the system. So you could say he's been there, he has done that, he has seen it all, and he has thoughts about what he sees happening right now. And to learn more about those thoughts, he joins us now, retired Justice the Honourable Thomas Gove. Thank you so much for being here.
Morning.
Now, you decided to write about this publicly. I see you have a piece in the Vancouver Sun today talking about this. Why did you want to speak about what you see going on out there?
Well, I, like most people in British Columbia, have been observing how the situation with regards to drug addiction, and in particular addiction in the community, is getting worse. And I believe that it was a time for people like myself to speak out. It seems so clear that we need to get the public to focus on treatment and help these individuals who have found themselves in this terrible situation of drug addiction.
What do you think has changed, Justice Gove, given from the time that you were on the court and you were, you know, you saw the work on the Downtown East Side? What changed to have us end up like this?
Well, at one time, I mean, 60 years ago, British Columbia was recognized as a pioneer in rehabilitating people who were addicted to drugs, and many of whom came to the criminal justice system. Unfortunately, this is no longer the case. We used to have forestry camps, used to have treatment programs, used to have outward bounds camps. We used to work with the people, and particularly young people, to get them out of the drug lifestyle and back into a healthy lifestyle. What we see now is well, we can look out our windows and see the chaos. You see, in British Columbia, I believe that clinicians know how to deal with and work with people who are addicted to drugs. We have a lot of expertise in this province. We need to let these people, doctors, social workers, nurses, counselors, get on with providing what's needed both in the community and in particular residential treatment.
Okay, how do you envision that working? What do you think needs to be put into place?
Well, firstly, I think we need to treat people who are drug addicted and require a removal from their environment into a hospital type setting as a priority. Other provinces do this. We don't do that in British Columbia. You talk to any parent who has a child who is addicted to drugs, and they'll tell you the struggle to find where to get help, the struggle to keep the child alive while they're on a waiting list to get into some program in some future date and place. Unless a person in this province has the financial means to pay for private treatment, private residential treatment, they are on a road that is extremely, extremely difficult. We need to change our attitude. We need to change our approach. These are people that require a health approach, and we haven't been doing it for some years.
You asked this question in the piece that you wrote here. You said, why are we not treating them as patients of the healthcare system? And I've wondered that myself. Like, why doesn't that happen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why. It seems to me so blatantly obvious that people who are addicted to a drug that they can't seem to stop on their own need to be treated as patients. There's a great reluctance, it appears, to put people into residential care. I appreciate that on one hand, residential care, of course, is expensive. On the other hand, you're taking away some of their rights to make choices, their liberties. But let's be realistic. The cost to society today of not doing that is, we're told by the Ministry of Mental Health and Addiction's own website, billions of dollars. Billions of dollars in terms of human lives, but also in terms of crime in our community and so on. I mean, this is not news to someone like yourself. It's been in the news now for some years.
But do you think, is this a problem?
We all know the problems there.
Is this a problem of not enough treatment then, do you think? Is it that people want that option and they can't find that option? Or is it that we're not providing enough different kinds of options, perhaps like we did in the past?
Well, I think both. But I think in particular, we're not providing the number of options. We're not providing the beds, basically. We're not providing the treatment places and beds and so forth to treat these folk. You know, we've got a population in this province which is in the millions. We have the number of government-funded beds for treatment is in the hundreds. You know, we also heard, and we haven't heard recently, but I'm sure you talked about it in the past, the many, many treatment, what they call treatment homes or recovery homes that are run by, often by charitable organizations, sometimes by individuals to supposedly help people get off of drug addiction. And those of us who worked in the court system for years know that most of those are not effective. They're not helpful. They're not really treatment. They're helpful, but they're not treatment. We need actual treatment. And we've got people in this province who know how to do that.
When you were in the criminal court, at the downtown community court, and you had people coming before you, what did you notice that's different back then versus today? Is it the way we are treating people? Is it like, are people different today than they were when they came to court?
Oh, I think there's much more today people who are drug addicted who come to court are in a much more desperate situation. I think the drugs are different. We certainly still have heroin, but the addition of fentanyl and other drugs, methamphetamine, people are more desperate to get help or to get help or to get more drugs. The other problem is we had more resources 20 years ago than we have now. We had places, some were good, some were not as good, but we had places that we could send people to. They would receive treatment. We had a whole string of camps. There was about 9 or 10 forestry camps in the Chilliwack Valley and up in the Maple Ridge area, where young, usually men, learnt how to get up in the morning, have their breakfast, get dressed, get the chainsaw, and get out working in the woods under the supervision of corrections officers, with an idea that they not only would get healthy, but upon their release from their period of incarceration, they would have some skills and they could start getting themselves into a workforce in which they could take some pride. We've closed all that down. Prisons now are viewed by many of us who worked in the system as simply warehouses. And, you know, the people that work there are doing the best they can, but they're not viewed anymore as treatment programs.
Listen, thank you so much for your time this morning and explaining your thoughts to us. We appreciate that.
Okay, Timmy, thank you.
That's retired Justice the Honorable Thomas Scove, of course, longtime judge, retired a couple of years ago, did lots of work, especially on child protection here in this province, talking about what he sees has gone wrong in how we are treating offenders in the system and the public safety issue. Now, you can read more about his thoughts. He presents them in the Vancouver Sun today. You can read that. You can weigh in as well, simi@cknw.com.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.